This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is an iFanboy special edition podcast on Batman vs. Robin.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when.
Hello, welcome to the iFanboy Special Edition podcast on Batman vs. Robin. We've assembled the iFanboy Animation Brain Trust. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm with Dr. Ryan Haupt.
Hello.
And a heavily medicated Paul Montgomery.
Hey, everybody.
Just Paul takes no responsibility, nor does iFanboy.
It's allergy season again.
For anything so. He says.
I'm recording.
It was allergy season here, but now we have like 4 inches of snow on the ground.
Good for
I'm
you.
I'm recording from a Wawa.
I'm not happy about it.
We are the iFanboy Animation Brain Trust, and we like to get together to talk about these films. This is the latest of the DC Universe Animated Original Movies. Snuck up on us this year by days. Paul and I realized it was coming out, but we got it all. We watched it.
Do you want to do this? You want to do? Are we doing this still? Yeah, so.
So anyway, I thought the first episode of Daredevil.
All right, so.
Is that what we're doing?
This is the latest in the shared universe film. So they're doing, I think, one non-shared universe film a year. We're going to get to that one later. And then the other ones are living in this New 52 shared continuity.
It's been a Justice League movie. So we've had two of the Justice League movies so far in the New 52 continuity. And then a Batman movie in between.
Right. So here's your spoiler warning. We're going to talk about this film. So there will be spoilers if you're worried about that. This is very loosely based on the Court of Owls storyline in Batman that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo did. Mm-hmm. Very loosely.
Very loosely.
In fact, I really hesitate to call it an adaptation, but they are crediting Scott Snyder.
They're using elements, but it's sort of a mashup of that and like Batman and Robin. But Dick is in there, but it's not Dick as Batman.
Yeah, so that it's
a little all over the place.
It's probably the most loosely adapted one we've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is we really, as a group, I believe, or maybe Ryan was an outlier, it's always hard to tell with you, did not like the last one, the Batman and Son of Batman one.
We always have a conversation, and then Ryan's like, I loved it.
No, that was the, we're thinking of the Arkham, okay. The Arkham one.
So we really did not like Son of Batman, which was basically part one of this movie. You could watch this movie without seeing that, but there's elements of that that play off in here.
Yeah.
So when this movie started up, and it opens with Damian having stolen the Batmobile, and he's driving somewhere, and Batman's yelling at him through the radio or the comms or whatever, I just sort of very heavily sighed because I was taken back to how much that last movie, how much I hated it, plus the well-documented lamenting of Damian in general we've been having lately. Just not wanting to deal with him and realizing at that moment he was never going to not be in my life ever again.
And then a funny thing
happened. Imagine how Batman feels.
And then a funny thing happened was that I thought this movie was pretty terrific.
Pretty terrific. That's strong praise.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was very boring.
Whoa, all over the map again.
I thought it, well, I think just the way we've been describing like what it is, I think in that same way, I think there's a lot of good ingredients in here, but then a lot of stuff sort of didn't gel.
Okay, so what do you think didn't work for you?
Okay.
Well, really quickly, Paul, what is the story of this movie?
What is the story of this movie? Okay, so a couple of different things going on. As you alluded to, we've got some conflict between Damian and Batman. Damian, of course, has been trained by Ra's al Ghul, his grandfather, and all of his League of Assassins, and thinks he knows he's too big for his britches. For his Robin britches, and he thinks he can dole out vengeance, but Batman is all about justice, not vengeance. So he's trying to make sure that Damian doesn't like murder anybody, and that comes up a few times here. But then put into that, you have the whole Court of Owls thing, which is a storyline and a set of rogues that I really loved. From the New 52 Batman stuff from Snyder and Capullo. And I don't, you know, I think it gets a little bit schizophrenic. This has a slightly longer running time.
Well, the A plot really is that the Talon from the Court of Owls is trying to recruit Robin into joining him. And that's sort of the main thrust of the movie.
Yeah, so we got like 80 minutes here.
Yeah, it was almost an hour and a half, which is almost the length of a regular movie.
Yeah, so a little bit longer. And even still, I think it didn't quite know what to do with that running time. Like Ryan said, I think there are some dry stretches, but then also I think it bites off a little bit more than it can chew with the Court of Owls. Like, I think the third act is kind of messy. Things just come to a head very, very quickly. And I think the big thing for me is they're doing something interesting with Talon as this new sort of alternative father figure for Damian, because Bruce is just isn't cutting it as a cool dad. He's trying to keep him at home and bar him from leaving Wayne Manor. Why would you want to leave Wayne Manor? It's got everything. It's probably got an Xbox One
Except
and a PS4.
Crime.
It just doesn't have
There's
the crime.
To murder.
Yeah, Dane just wants to murder people. Get him Mortal Kombat X. He can have some fun. He can do some fatalities and stuff. He doesn't have to go out there on the streets. But and there's a couple of nice moments there with Bruce and Damian. Like, you know, Damian has just gotten into Dickens. And Bruce is like, I was reading Dickens when I was your age. Let's watch that David Lean film.
What a believable father-son conversation that
what
was.
What a wonderful conversation, yeah. And then
you're talking about a severely emotionally stunted adult talking to a child. So I don't think it was that unusual.
Let's have some butter on the popcorn, too. And since we're rich, we can... Was that the line? Was like, we're so rich, we can afford two bowls of popcorn.
I think we can afford two bowls.
Right. So well, I know he doesn't say we're so rich we can afford, but like that's the subtext, you know. And then Talon comes in and it's just Talon. He is a Talon, but it's not specifically.
He's the cool bad.
He's the cool bad guy, and it's okay to murder people. And he quips as he's fighting, and he has some cool moves and stuff. It's a nice looking, nice, well animated movie, but very fluid. But I think his motivations get a little murky for me, and I think that's the big thing of how it falls down is that I don't entirely understand what Talon's motivations are and why he just decides to launch an assault on the Batcave. In Act
Well,
three.
His motivation was to take over the Court of Owls. He didn't feel a part of them. The Court of Owls is all the old blue blood gentry of Gotham secretly running things, and he was a street kid that was pulled up, that was used as a talent, and he never felt like he was going to belong.
Just like in
Even
Oliver Twist.
He's banging Batman's lady.
That's true. But, you know, so he decided he's going to take it for himself. I found a lot to like. There were things I didn't like for sure. I didn't think it was a great movie, but I really enjoyed it. I was engaged. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I was keeping notes while watching the film. And then right off the top of the top, my first note was when Nightwing pulls Robin's cape over his head and repeatedly punches him in the head. That was fantastic.
You just like seeing misfortune.
Yeah, a lot of my good notes are about Damian, bad things happening to Damian. I thought it was funny because he is like an 8-year-old kid. And so that was just an extended. And this may have come after just having watched Daredevil with all the punching and that. But right. he just stands there and just gives him like 4 or 5 whacks in the head. And I thought that was really fun. More Damian punches.
it's very jarring. And I mean, I think the Batman and Son movie isn't, I don't know how far removed we are from that, but it's not that established in my mind. I don't remember it very well. Just that I didn't like it. And even here, the second time we're seeing Damian, you know, with a voice actor, it's so weird that, like, Bruce is going around with this little kid who sounds like a little kid. You know, it's not like a female voice actor, like, doing a little kid voice. It's an actual little kid.
I thought a little kid was really good.
Yes, I think it was a mixed bag. I think yes and no. Some scenes he worked in, some scenes it felt a little stiff, but it's definitely affecting that it's a real little kid.
And especially when paired with Jason Amaro continues to be the biggest problem with these movies.
Oh, man.
Who is a really good actor and a really terrible Batman, and he's not getting any better. It's not like he's I've learned from my last film. It's just the same line delivery.
Oh, and they're totally trolling the fanboys because Kevin Conroy plays Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, I like that. That
was good. Well, that was one of my notes in my bad section was that you had Kevin Conroy and you had Jeremy Sisto as talent. Jeremy Sisto played Batman in New Frontier, which I love.
That's right.
So you have two really great Batman voice actors in a movie where you've got a really terrible Batman voice actor who continues to not emote, but also use the same exact voice for Bruce Wayne and for Batman. There's no nuance in his performance whatsoever.
He has that moment where he's in the Bat Mech, also from the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we saw it in Endgame, and he's got that.
You love mechs.
He's got that line where he's like, "You sons of bitches, get out of my cave!" And it's just like, nope, not buying it. Like, it just did not feel like Batman. Like, it, I don't know. And I don't want to be one of those guys. Like, it can only be like Kevin Conroy. I think it could be. I think other actors have done.
I don't think this. I just don't think he emotes at all.
He just doesn't. Yeah. So and this is a very important, you know, story to have, like, a complex Batman. It's not like a Justice League. It's
right.
It's something where he needs to. You know, he's dealing with his kid and all that stuff.
Ryan, you did not like it.
Correct. I watched most of it, and then I got to about where there were 16, 15 minutes left where the big final battle is going to happen, and I fell asleep for several hours. And when I woke up, I realized what had happened and rewound and watched the final fight and still was left pretty cold. I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of the Flophouse podcast, and so maybe I'm just being nitpicky, but there were just a lot of things in this that did not work for me, and like little things and big things. So like one of the little things was that, because I think I'm only saying this because I think I'm gonna make Paul laugh, is that Alfred played Falstaff. That's a horrible role for Alfred. He's very skinny.
I love the same thing.
See, exactly.
He's not a Falstaff.
Alfred actually was really kind of dumb in the movie. It was he was like lack of intelligence.
Turning off the security and all sort of stuff. Yeah, and then like when Bruce is on the date with the woman and she sees Damien and Bruce awkwardly is like, "Oh, that's my ward." I'm like, "That she just called you a playboy. She should not be shocked if you have a son. Like, just say he's your son. That's less creepy."
No, but that's Batman stuff. That's security issues.
Another thing I thought about, Paul, when he had the fight with the Talons in the Gotham Natural History Museum, and I think, right, Paul, you and I would have a really good time going to the Gotham Natural History Museum together. That was honestly a thought that I had. I'm like, oh, I bet that'd be a good day for me and Paul, just like walking around, looking at stuff.
We do that, and then we go see Alfred playing Malvolio, probably, 12th night. I think that would be a much better part for Alfred.
And then Batman's a dick to fossils. Like, he knocks over that T-Rex skeleton and smears his blood all over it. And I can tell you, as a person, I work in a museum with a T-Rex skull. If I came in one morning and the skull was all messed up and covered in blood, I'm testing the blood of that skull. I now know who Batman is.
I know that's not what you meant, but I like that you prefaced that with, as a person.
Yeah, I'm a person who cares about fossil skulls and has access to a T-Rex skull on a daily basis.
So you weren't engaged in the emotional arc of Robin. You weren't engaged in the attempted seduction of Robin by Talon.
No, not really. No, like, and I don't know. The movie, like you said, it was a bit on the long side, but we still get reminders that Bruce's parents were shot and killed. But this time, an owl flies by and eats a bat.
See, I thought that was really great. I loved this movie. I thought it was one of the best ones. Probably the best one since they've done the reboot. Actually, no, it is the best one since they started
That's a low bar.
No, but I thought this was the most fun by far I had in a movie. I'd give this a solid 4.
Okay, well, I'm glad you liked it.
I loved the Talon-Robin relationship. I thought it was interesting to explore Robin's dual nature. Mm-hmm. And that he wants to be his dad and he wants to please his dad, but he also has Ra's al Ghul inside of him. And that's a very seductive thing to fall back on the idea of just stabbing people. I really loved Talon's death. and how he basically forced Robin to kill him physically. I thought that was great. I thought the fight scenes were
fantastic.
I thought they were really brutal.
The Court of Owl
and the Talons felt like the genuine threat to Batman. Batman's almost a side character in this movie. I thought the Court of Owls were creepy, which is what they need to be.
They did a good job bringing the Court of Owls to animation, to life, basically. Like, they were very creepy. They got the visual down. When, like, there's a car race.
A car chase scene where
they're trying to box him in. Yeah,
those
and
a bunch CG of people cars. Come out
with their owl mask.
CG cars are pretty bad.
We see the Batmobile fall down on the Batmech late in the movie, and it was pretty CG looking. But the sequence itself of the car chase with the owls coming out of their cars in the mask, it's very creepy.
I'm glad that translated. I was a little worried that they wouldn't seem as creepy in animation, but they did to me.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of creepy, Weird Al Yankovic was in this movie, which I totally didn't know until you told me.
You know, that's a good point. He was the doll face, and I actually liked that sequence a lot. I thought that really worked. The doll maker, yeah. It was super creepy, and Robin, it's a villain that makes sense for Robin because this is a guy who exploits kids, and so I actually liked that scene better before Batman showed up, because then it's just Batman punching children. Is, sometimes necessary, but still not, my favorite thing. Yeah.
So. I think starting it off there is a pretty interesting choice, because it immediately sets the tone that this is going to be messed up. There's going to be some moral ambiguity in this. So, you are watching an animated feature, but we're definitely playing into the PG-13.
Yeah, and then, Dick Grayson's, sexting call with Starfire.
Well, that leads to a couple of points. I had a couple of... Yeah, that was pretty
shocking.
Yeah, that was weird, and he's dressed like an extra on The Sopranos in that scene. He's got, the tight black shirt and the pleated pants and the necklace. Gold necklace. That was what put it over the line.
I wonder if that was sort of a visual callback to his old costume. There were some questions for me of what continuity this was in, because the Starfire relationship, that's from the old continuity. The future Damian stuff that they flashed to is from the old continuity. The suits in the Batcave and the displays were all old continuity.
Yeah, that's
suits.
A good point. Well, there was so in the new post-Flashpoint DC universe, in the comics at least, it is established that Starfire and Dick Grayson had a relationship at some point. Because there was that controversy over the whole first issue where she doesn't remember any of that because she's just a sex doll for whatever.
It's never alluded to anywhere else that where Dick Grayson lives.
New 52 is weird, though, because, in the first issue of Swamp Thing, they allude to the death of Superman. He's well, I died before, so I don't know what that was like. And I was like, really? You're keeping that?
It didn't feel like New 52 in it, but that was just interesting. I liked all the Nightwing stuff, except for the part where Robin...
There's one way it felt very New 52.
What's that?
Tim Drake was not around.
Well, that was one thing. I don't want to get to Damian again, but it really does minimize the other Robins. The idea that Damian could beat up Nightwing is stupid. And I felt really as a cathartic release when Batman and Nightwing saved the day at the end. And I was like, Batman's with the real Robin. That's nice. So there were things I didn't love about it. I didn't like that basically Talon and Nightwing look exactly the same there design-wise. And
the voice was similar enough that when there's the scene in the dark with the woman that Bruce had been dating, I didn't immediately realize that it wasn't her and Bruce in bed together.
Right. Well, that's because Jeremy's sister has been Batman, so you've got a gravelly voice guy playing.
Right. And so, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, are they really showing us a post-coital Bruce Wayne scene? That's very ballsy. And then I realized it was the Talon, and yeah.
There's that weird moment where Bruce is like, I want to show you something. And she's like, I bet it's your bedroom. And he's like, well, it's a little early for that. And I was like, Bruce Wayne doesn't have sex. He goes on dates, but
Depends on the book. Didn't Grant Morrison?
It depends on the book. It depends on the book, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought this was really fun. I thought it was a really good take on that group of characters. And I think if you're going to do a Damian movie, this is probably the best Damian movie you could possibly do, for me anyway. I have a lot of... One note I have is stupid Damian when he revealed his identity to the owls. Yeah. Also, I have another note that says owls are dicks. I don't know why I wrote that, but I did.
I don't know, man. Owls are pretty scary. I would, if I was walking, you know, along a forest path late at night and a bat came at me and an owl came at me, like, I'm ducking away from the owl more than the bat.
Well, we have those talons, right?
Well, yeah, but bats have rabies. Like, talons will scratch you, but rabies will kill you.
I'm getting my manservant to shoot at him with his shotgun. Alfred just goes to town with that shotgun.
I think that people... Anyone going into this looking for an adaptation, obviously, of the Court of Owls storyline is going to be disappointed because it's not at all. They're just taking some of the concepts.
Which is a good thing they didn't call it Batman Court of Owls. It's,
right.
It's just the trapping to this, which is so...
But I think Batman and Robin fans, for the most part, other than you two Grinches, will enjoy this movie. That's my prediction. It's getting much better reviews than these movies generally get lately.
Yeah. Yeah, I check the reviews on Blu-ray.com, which is pretty they're pretty harsh sometimes. Like they usually, it's very rare for them to give one of these over like a 3, and this one was a 4 or something. So out of 5, yeah,
four to five is right in. I cannot stress enough how great it was to have Nightwing punch Robin repeatedly in the head. It was really awesome. I would have rewound it if I had had the time.
See, maybe I just wasn't looking for that catharsis.
He's an asshole.
You didn't need that to be happy. You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't need.
I've got a fulfilling life. I've got other things going on.
I really liked the unrelenting attack by the Talons at the end. The fact that it was just waves of them, and it felt like they were never going to win. The Batman and Nightmare never. There were just so many of them, and no matter how many they put down, more of them would appear. I really liked that sound. You don't normally get that sense of overwhelming dread in those situations that there's no way to get out of this. Mm-hmm. I thought they were really good. You know.
I think that kind of thing they would reserve for like a Justice League movie, that level of a threat.
Right.
Like the Batman stuff is usually a more intimate kind of thing. It's like he's just facing off the Joker.
You know, when he pulls out the mech, it's a serious problem.
It's a serious
problem.
That's a
Superman level threat when he goes full mech on something.
And right. Alfred really took his time building that mech suit or turning it on or whatever he was. Alfred was really stupid in this movie. It was bothering me.
Thinks that he's a good fit for Falstaff.
They were making fun of him. Like, look, he can wear a fat suit. It's acting.
I like that he's concerned about Bruce's cholesterol when he's talking about putting butter on the popcorn. Right. I keep coming back to that, but like, I think he gets some aerobic exercise.
The cardio.
Just being Batman.
Yeah.
Maybe Batman had some genetic markers for high cholesterol. No amount of exercise can fix that.
This is the real killer of Thomas Wayne.
that bullet, you know, he could have survived that, but if the bullet actually dislodged a clot that went straight to his brain and killed him instantly. It's a little known fact about Thomas Wayne's death.
So I liked it. I thought it was good. I was at this actually helped a lot because we liked Throne of Atlantis, but we really haven't loved any. This is the first one I've loved in a while. So even if you guys didn't, that's okay.
At one point, the main Talon says, no lines, no limits, no rules, which I think sounds like an ad campaign for some sort of extreme sports energy drink.
It's for Mountain Dew, you don't... I mean, that's, yeah.
That made me laugh, but not for the right reasons.
So, should we talk about the future of the DC animated line?
So, the next film is that we talked about, the out of... It's actually a full-on Elseworlds movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the continuity, and it's the return of Bruce Timm for one night only to these movies. He's producing, it's his idea.
Justice League Gods and Monsters.
Looks crazy. I have to admit, I was not necessarily on board with this, but then I watched the featurette on it.
Why would you not be on board? Like, wouldn't you... It's Bruce Timm. He's back. Like, how is that not cause for celebration?
Until I saw some information on it, and it was like, why does Superman have a goatee? And what's with the vampire teeth?
Because he's Latino. Also because he's Latino.
Yeah, that's true. But then I watched the featurette, and I got really excited for it.
So I only seen the trailer. What does the featurette say? That
it's just a typical they interview everybody who's involved.
So they bring in all the actors and stuff. Yeah,
you know, it's an Elseworlds story that's a completely different DC that you're used to. It's Superman, who's the son of Zod, not Jor-El, and he gets found by some Latino migrant workers, and he grows up very angry. And then Batman is not even Bruce Wayne; he's Kirk Langstrom.
What?
So it's like John Steinbeck's DC universe.
Yeah.
Wait, how's that? Oh, because the Latino migrant workers.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
And then Wonder Woman is from Apocalypse. She's the wife of Orion.
Got like a big Barda look.
She looks like Sif, actually.
Yeah, a little bit like
Lex Luthor is kind of like Stephen Hawking. He's confined to a wheelchair. And it's an Elseworlds. I used to love Elseworlds. So once you go into it knowing that, I think it looks really interesting.
And in terms of looks, it's like classic Timverse. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even like his most recent stuff. It's like going back to like Superman Adventures, I thought.
Yep, I agree with that.
like not, just the character mimicking, models.
They're not mimicking anyone else's artistic style. It's like just back to Tim. Like, because for a while they were doing movies where they tried to look like Ed McGuinness or look like Mazzucchelli, and now this is like, nope, just Tim. Tim style.
Yeah.
Big Timmy style.
So that was like so big nostalgia bomb, and it looks like it's something different. It's, you know, not a direct adaptation of anything. It's pulling story. Elements from stuff. It's an original story. So 10 out of 10, I'm excited.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even though it's like angry, angry, murderous Superman?
Sure.
Sometimes you need that. Like, can't, you
if know. If it's an Elseworld Superman, I don't mind when they do that.
You gotta,
it's when they say this is Superman and it's like an angry, murderous Man of Steel Superman, then I'm not on board. But if it's like this is for fun, this is like an alternate reality, this is like a what if kind of thing, I'm into that. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
This is the closest thing we'll probably see to them adapting Red Son, which is, you know, my like the one that I would love to see the most. So I'm happy about it.
I think a lot of people would like to see a Red Son adaptation.
Yeah.
Well, you're a communist. Of course you're excited for that.
It's not true.
I've heard a lot of people saying, like, the only Superman story I could ever get into is Red Son. And so,
what's interesting is that movie's slated to come out this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can find nothing on anything beyond that.
Hmm.
Usually by now we know what's next after that. It doesn't mean there's nothing after that. It just means I see nothing anywhere on the next film after that.
That's the end of the Mayan calendar, you know?
Maybe.
Is it for us as a people?
Yeah. Bruce Timm knows something we don't know. So I like Batman versus Robin. Paul thought it was okay. Ryan didn't like it.
I just thought it was boring.
Might have had other issues going on. You might have been having lack of sleep.
It was terrific, but it was boring.
We're all looking forward to Gods and Monsters.
It was really great, but I wanted to claw my eyes out and die.
Boring is different than bad. Like, I liked aspects of it, it just couldn't keep my attention. And
well, isn't bad better than boring?
Depends. Like, it can be so bad that it's hilarious, or it can just be kind of bad that it's like, oh, this isn't good, so I'm not interested, and it's boring. No, he's Kirk Langstrom. Not my Batman!
And Benjamin Bratt is Superman. This is an interesting guess.
I'm fine with Superman being Zod's son, but there's only one Batman for me, and that's Terry McGinnis.
I like Benjamin Bratt. Benjamin Bratt's good.
Terry McGinnis is the only Batman I
recognize. But you're okay with Batman being a vampire?
Sure.
No, I think that's great. It makes sense. Like, I was thinking,
I'm okay with that Batman being a vampire.
After I watched the trailer, I started thinking, if Batman in the regular DCU had the option to become a vampire, and that would improve his crime-fighting abilities, I mean, he's the ultimate pragmatist. Why would he not take that?
I mean, he'd think about it for like 2-3 issues, but then he'd be like, yep, I gotta do it.
He would just build a suit that would allow him to be a
dick. Bite the bullet.
I don't know if he would allow himself to become a slave to the bloodlust.
Well, but he'd be like,
he'd have like an antidote. Assistant.
Yeah. Offer to make him a nice, instead of those green energy shakes he gets now, he'd get, you know, blood energy shakes. He'd probably, because they'd probably get like bat blood from the cave.
I don't know. He already tried it once with the venom serum, and that took him a fucking detox weekend in the cave to get over that.
I mean, vampire bats are a very sweet and social animal. If you're in the colony of the bats and you all go out and hunt for the evening, and like also they don't kill their prey, which is kind of nice. Like, it's just take a little sip of blood.
Let's just reflect on that. Detoxing in the bat cave, it's like the last place that you'd want to get better. Like, when there's a giant dinosaur diorama and
a big penny. Where he gets
the
venom juice and offers to lock him in the Batcave. And he comes out with like a big bushy man beard. I guess he was a little longer than the weekend because he came out with a big beard. And
that venom makes you grow beards fast.
Maybe. It's very manly.
Yeah.
Go to the Berkshires. I don't know. Don't go in the cave.
Promises Malibu?
Go to Promises Malibu, yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is vampire bats are wonderful little creatures. If you are hungry, somebody else from the colony will share their blood with you. They'll like regurgitate it for you.
Anyone told them they've got horrible branding problems?
Terrible PR.
Fair enough.
All right, so Batman versus Robin is, that's later this year.
Is it really?
No, it's next year.
No.
I don't know when it is. When is it, Paul?
It's whenever. We'll get all clips for it before. I think they've released 200% of Avengers Age of Ultron before the movie's even out.
You know how the easy way to not get spoiled is just to not watch any of those clips.
Oh, no, I don't watch them.
I know you don't, but like, I see people complain about it. It's like, well, then have some self-control, you psychopath. Don't watch it.
I just don't understand the marketing behind it. It's not like people haven't heard of Avengers Age of Ultron.
So talk about Batman versus Robin at iFanboy.com. That's where you can find the post for this show. You can find our weekly our Fanboy Picker League podcast in which Paul got started last week.
Yep.
Right there. You know, you just yawned over your own plug.
I did.
Paul guest starred on the show last week, so you can catch him there. We talked about last week's books. You can also find all of our special edition shows there.
Should have got Tom Caters.
We're going to have a Daredevil podcast coming up. We're going to have an Avengers podcast coming up, so you can find all that.
I do a podcast called Science Order, where I talk about things that I do like and I don't think are boring.
And Paul, what is your podcast?
Is O Comics with a there's a comma in there and an exclamation point.
Mine has an ellipses.
Panels.net.
There you go.
We both have punctuation heavy podcast titles, Paul.
So go there and everyone can go and back me up on how awesome this movie was, because it was awesome, no matter what these two lunatics say.
Looking forward to Son of Zod.
until that comes out, which will be in the summertime, we'll be back for that. I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
I'm Ryan.
You guys are jerks.
Just being honest.
Sons of bitches.
Get out of my podcast.
I'm just saying, when I saw Dick Grayson dressed like he was on The Sopranos, I was just like, this is not the movie for me. It's not my movie. He had pleated pants, not in fashion anymore, and a tight white black top. Just didn't dig it.
He's carny folk.
It's like how Colossus would dress, like his street clothes.
That would work for me, though. Like I'd love that. Oh, that'd be great. There's Pyotr Rasputin when you need him.
My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.